Chapter 5. Cut the slightest figure. And as for Tom Dawson, he was carrying on an undertone small talk with Lady Barbara St. Mary's, so that there was not much conversation worth record going on within the dining room. Outside it was different. Those houses in Lilliput Street are so uncommonly compact that you can hear everything which takes place all over the tenement. And so, in the awful pauses of the banquet, and the hall door being furthermore open, we had the benefit of hearing the cook, and the occasional cook, below stairs, exchanging rapid phrases regarding the dinner, the smash of the soup tureen, and swift descent of the kitchen maid and soup ladle down the stairs to the lower regions. This accident created a laugh, and rather amused Fitzroy and the company, and caused Funnyman to say, bowing to Rosa, that she was mistress of herself, though China fall. But she did not heed him, for at that moment another noise commenced, namely, that of the baby in the upper rooms, who commenced a series of piercing yells, which, though stopped by the sudden clapping to of the nursery door, were only more dreadful to the mother when suppressed. She would have given a guinea to go upstairs, and have done with the whole entertainment. A thundering knock came at the door very early after the dessert, and the poor soul took a speedy opportunity of summoning the ladies to depart, though you may be sure it was only old Mrs. Gashley, who had come with her daughters, of course the first person to come. I saw her red gown whisking up the stairs, which were covered with plates and dishes, over which she trampled. Instead of having any quiet after the retreat of the ladies, the house was kept in a rattle, and the glasses jingled on the table as the flyman and coachman plied the knocker, and the soiree came in. From my place I could see everything. The guests as they arrived, I remarked very few carriages, mostly cabs and flies, and a little crowd of blackguard boys and children, who were formed round the door, and gave ironical cheers to the folks as they stepped out of their vehicles. As for the evening party, if a crowd in the dog days is pleasant, poor Mrs. Timmons certainly had a successful soiree. You could hardly move on the stair. Mrs. Sternhold broke in the banisters, and nearly fell through. There was such a noise, and chatter you could not hear the singing of the Miss Gashleys, which was no great loss. Lady Bungay could hardly get to her carriage, being entangled with Colonel Wedgwood in the passage. An absurd attempt was made to get up a dance of some kind, but before Mrs. Crowder had got round the room, the hanging lamp in the dining room below was stove in, and fell with a crash on the table, now prepared for refreshment. Why, in fact, did the Timmonses give that party at all? It was quite beyond their means. They have offended a score of their old friends, and pleased none of their acquaintances. So angry were many who were not asked, that poor Rosa says she must now give a couple more parties and take in those not previously invited. And I know for a fact, that Fubsby's bill is not yet paid, nor Binny and Latham's the wine merchants, that the breakage and hire of glass and china cost ever so much money, that every true friend of Timmons has cried out against his absurd extravagance, and that now, when everyone is going out of town, Fitz has hardly money to pay his circuit, much more to take Rosa to a watering place, as he wished and promised. As for Mrs. Gashley, the only feasible plan of economy which she can suggest, is that she could come, and live with her daughter and son-in-law, and that they should keep house together. If he agrees to this, as he has a little sum at the banker's, with which she would not mind easing his present difficulties, and the poor wretch is so utterly bewildered and crestfallen that it is very likely he will become her victim. The Topham Sawyers, when they go down into the country, will represent Fitz as a ruined man and reckless prodigal. His uncle, the attorney, from whom he has expectations, will most likely withdraw his business, and adopt some other member of his family, Blanche Crowder for instance, whose husband, the doctor, has had high words with poor Fitzroy already, of course at the women's instigation. And all these accumulated miseries fall upon the unfortunate wretch, because he was good-natured, and his wife would have a little dinner. End of Project Gutenberg's A Little Dinner at Timmins, by Thackeray. Edited by Gutenberg Edition.